Hi, Cole here, creator and narrator of The Town Whispers. It's been a long summer, but the leaves once again fall, and with autumn comes longer nights that beg for darker tales. And to fill those long, cold evenings, I've launched a brand new podcast called Tiny Terrors. Tiny Terrors is a nostalgic horror anthology series that is as fun as it is dark. Join three friends as they delve into a forgotten corner of storytelling history and bring to light the darker depths yet still hidden in those often untraveled corners. Subscribe, listen, and review Tiny Terrors wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, Cole here, creator and narrator of The Town Whispers. Before this episode, I'd just like to take a minute to thank some of our patrons. Gray Araya, Brandon Rapier, Snake Eyes, Hannah Moulton, Creepy is the Best, and Paul S. The Forts Town Council truly thanks you all and appreciates your support. If you'd like to support The Town Whispers and join our community of patrons, go to www.com/The Town Whispers. The Town Whispers is a narrative horror podcast that will tell the many stories hidden behind the rain, the fog, and the trees of a town called The Fort. Events that take place in The Fort are not suitable for all listeners. Discretion is advised.
I got the ghost of you inside of my
The grand house sat atop the hill for many years, and for many years had watched the growth of the fort. To even call it a house would be disingenuous. It was a house in the way that people lived or had lived there. It had bedrooms and a kitchen. Oh, but it was so much more. From its vantage point, it had seen the scuttling of tiny townsfolk as they aimed to build a town worthy of the grand Gothic Renaissance mansion on its stony perch, looking down like an untouchable father figure with stern and unapproving eyes for windows. From the very start, the estate was mired in mystery. Not once were carpenters called to the hill to frame its face and hammer its nails. None from the fort proper, at least. Not once were masons called to cut the stones of its foundations. Not once were landscapers called to come and manicure its lawns to plant the trees to transform the barren hilltop into a garden of grandeur that it would eventually become. Piece by piece, the LePont mansion simply and seemingly grew straight from the rock beneath it for the LePont family to inhabit, to take their rightful place above others, to guide and lead the fort. Not in any conventional sense, though. Beyond Alderman LePont, never once had his children or their children after sought any administrative position. Their guidance was the guidance of influence and money, jobs and progress. When it was completed, it was a marvel. Its decadence and comfort, a tribute not only to the good fortune of one family, but a shared vision of what could be. And each chance for celebration, that vision was shared when all townsfolk who resided in the fort were welcome to come partake in celebration, to wine and dine and forget the rough edges of the place they called home. Fascinating how a glimpse of gold can keep order and civility in place, how well-earned concerns and complaints could be forgotten with a little libation and jubilation. From that house on the hill, many LePonts led the construction of the fort, as if only they could see where the foundation should be set, Only up there from their vantage point was it possible to see the grand design. And everyone listened. It was easier that way. Everyone was happier that way. The Lepants were the current that opened and closed the valves that pushed and pulled the pumps that fed the fort, that kept it running smoothly, that kept people employed and industry growing. It was better that way, when they could entrust the Lepants to be the sole caretakers of their good fortune. No one needed to know the ins and the outs of moving lumber out onto the Bedford Channel and then into the faster, more dangerous Fraser River. No one needed to know how to bring in coal and other fuels like kerosene, when there would not be a railroad that would touch the town for near on 100 years from when the Lepant Mansion was first built. No one needed to peer into the innards of the machine. No one even asked for the schematics. And that was just fine by the Lepants and just fine by the townsfolk. Life was simple. Life was good. Lepant lumber kept them employed and fed. Everyone was looked after, generation after generation. That is until Charles Lepant disappeared. When Lepant lumber and the mills were passed along to Mark Lepant, and everything went wrong. Mark simply didn't have whatever it was that made the Lepants special. He tried to stand next to his forefathers and live up to their legacy of industry. Mark tried to live up to the expectation of his stately mother and grandmother before her, but no matter how straight he stood, no matter how broad his stride, no matter how loud he spoke, how confident he was, and how hard he tried, he could do nothing but betray his family name and the legacy that had been built for over 100 years. Mark Lepant ran the mills into the ground. Lepant lumber closed. Jobs were lost, and so too was any right a Lepant had to live in that house up on the hill. The Lepant mansion became a paradise lost. The fort became an unfulfilled promise of a better life. And that's when nature began to creep back in, when coyotes began to roam the streets at night. It was rumored they tempted children out into the woods. They looked like playful dogs, after all. They'd play with the children, jumping about, tempting them deeper and deeper still, until that child would turn a corner to meet a pack of coyotes instead of just one. Children had gone missing for a period of time in the fort. It was plausible. There had been more than a handful too gone without a trace. But that was the dangers of living on the frontier of civilization. One of many dangers. No one thought too much about it. The tragedy of it. Losing one so young, especially when there were so few townsfolk to begin with. The fort had never been a bright and vibrant place, filled with the sounds and colors of metropolitan living. But after Charles Lepant, it felt like every home, every store, and everyone heaved one collective decades-long agonal wheeze as they began to die and decompose where they stood, the moss and the damp reclaiming them as the house on the hill remained dark and vacant. And so the house had sat empty since. Or so they said. That's what they'd have you believe. But like all small towns, rumors began to fly from child to child about what might live in the mansion on the hill. And just like that, what was once a beacon of hope of the future of progress became a derelict landmark, filled with the make-believe ghosts and ghouls of a town which already had its fair share of monsters.
Well, here we are. Now, this home was built by one of the founding members of our community and is a genuine landmark mired in history. It was first erected in the year?
I know all about it. Don't you worry.
Oh, I wasn't aware you were from here.
Born and raised in Mile High, good to be back.
Well, then, you'll be pleased to know that the town council has been the steward of this property for a long time now, and there are no living members of the family to which this property could be passed, so there will be no nasty long-lost relatives knocking at your door. Things could get a little cantankerous that way, you know, when money or property is involved.
I'm well aware. I left shortly after the LePont fire.
Well, yes, such ancient history. How time flies. Now, if you would be so kind as to sign the final documentation, and I can give you a thorough tour of the property. Here's a pen, and you can sign right there. First and last name, please. Ah, wonderful, wonderful. Now, let's see here, make sure everything is in order. Yes. Yes. Good, good. I'm terribly sorry, sir. You'll need to sign both your given name as well as your family name for your signature for legal purposes for the records and such. I'll just give you back the pen. Okay, let's see now. James James. Is that your given and surname?
Yes, that's right. James James.
Well then. All right. Now, it's been left for some time, so clearly there is work to be done. But a little dust and mold never hurt anyone, right? I've had the caretaker set out some traps in preparation, but it'll be a while before he'll be able to get a handle on the rodent infestation. But rest assured, he's a good man, an able man, and I know he'd welcome the work if you keep him on long term.
Oh, feels like home already.
This episode was written, directed, and narrated by Cole Weavers, with sound production and editing by Matt Black. Our theme song is by the wonderful Charlie P.S. This episode featured Cole Weavers as James and the Steward. To find more information, or to join our Patreon for additional content and ad-free episodes, visit our website at thetownwhispers.com. Rate and review us online. Tweet us at thetownwhispers. Join us on Discord by clicking the link in the description below. Visit us on Facebook or email us at thetownwhispers@pulpaudio.ca. The Town Whispers is a serialized horror podcast produced by Pulp Audio, distributed by Callum Doherty of the Rusty Quill Network, and licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License.
I got the ghost of you inside of my head. What I'm supposed to do, the blood has been shed. He got a dark past in a soul that's unfair.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.